Well, we were up in Albany last week with Pastor Fink at City Harvest and had a wonderful time with them up there. And yesterday I was at another church service, one of the young men that used to be in our youth group, and he went through a rough time growing up, shall we say, to say the least. And then one moment, sitting in a jail cell with God, and everything changed. And now he's planted a church out in Niskayuna. And so they rent a building, and so we went out to visit him on Saturday and just support and just encourage and just to love on and just to tell him how proud we are and how thankful we are that one moment with God and everything changes. Tell your neighbor, say, your moment is today. You see, every day is a moment with God. But if we'll make a decision and we'll trust him, everything starts to change that day. Amen? One moment with him and everything changes. I know it was a moment for my life that everything changed, and I never wanted to do things the same anymore. I wanted to do everything differently, and he did too. So we had a great time up there with them in Niskayuna. Can I tell you, God is expanding his kingdom, and he wants you to be a part of it with your gift. Tell your neighbor, say, you're gifted. Tell your other neighbor, say, you are truly gifted. All right? You're gifted for the expanse of his kingdom. You know, Arthur said, I think he sent me a text, or he told my wife, I can't remember, but they were talking about the outpouring down in Asbury there that they shut down, and he was talking to two girls, right, that went there. And they, oh, you're here. Oh, well, wonderful. And one of the statements they made was the music wasn't that great, but nobody cared. Because, you know, when you don't do it just right, tell your neighbor, say, that's you. That's all of us, right? None of us have done it just right. But when the presence of God comes, you don't have to do it just right. He does it all right. He changes everything. He changes it all. So that your life and everybody's life around you is transformed. And how many agree that with 3 John verses 1 or chapter 1 verse 4, it says, I have no greater joy than this, to hear of my children walking in the truth. How many parents say amen to that? Isn't that the heart, our heart's cry? No greater joy than knowing that your children are walking in the truth. Walking according to his word. Agreeing with who they are rather than what the school's saying who they are. Agreeing that they're not a furry or anything else. That they are a man or a woman. Isn't that good news when they walk in the truth? And then when they walk in the power of God and they share the truth with someone else. Boy, he said, I like nothing more than when my children walk in the truth. And I got to tell you, that makes my heart leap like crazy. And I know some people will struggle with that. They do. They struggle believing the truth about how good he is and how much he's washed you and cleansed you and made you whole. There's nobody cleaner than you when you walk in Christ. There's nobody freer. You know, one of the things that me and Pastor Jeff were talking about, and whatever you value the most, you protect. Isn't that true? Whatever you value the most, you don't have to raise your hand because we don't want nobody to know, but how many have a safe in their house? We don't want you to be a target, you know what I mean, so don't raise your hand. Whether you've got precious metals or you've got cash or you've got guns or you've got jewelry or maybe you've got old pictures that you keep and you want to keep them, whatever it is, the things that you cherish the most or the things that whatever you value the most, you protect. We put insurance on our homes, right? What about our children or grandchildren? Did you ever see a mama bear come alive? Yeah. All you have to do is look at a child wrong. And then moms come alive. And I believe that in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30, it says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by when you were sealed for the day of redemption. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. See, whatever we value the most, we're going to protect. And I believe that God's bringing us into a season now in this on the earth where we can see the darkness. It's pretty plain, isn't it? Right. People can't even tell what they are anymore. And heaven forbid you tell them what they are, then they flip out. And then they have problems. Because the confusion is so great, because the lie has been perpetrated for so long that now people actually start to believe it. See, but our job is to stand on the word of God. Because when we stand on the word of God, then we don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Amen? Well, as long as we walk according to the word of God, we're not going to grieve the Holy Ghost. We get outside the word of God, we start dabbling in and playing games with what's going on in the world, and that starts to grieve the Holy Ghost. Because heaven forbid we start to tell people there's something other than what God created them to be. It's amazing how quiet it gets. And it's amazing how much the news has infiltrated the church. And how people almost get afraid to say anything. All we have to do is say something. In love, according to the word of God. And one of the words we get to say is no. This is the way it is. No. This is the truth. No. You will bow your knee to this. No. You will repeat this. No. Yeah, because the world doesn't like it. The world doesn't like the truth. But as the body of Christ, our job is to proclaim the truth. Amen? And I don't know about you, but I've grieved the Holy Ghost in the past. And I don't want to do that anymore. Because I know that when I walk according to the word of God and we proclaim the word of God, I know that it's powerful, it's mighty, and it pulls down strongholds in people's minds, hearts, and delivers them no matter what kind of confusion they're in. Right? Because how many people are confused about their salvation that are out there? How many think that they can do whatever they want as long as they say one simple prayer, then I'm good, I'm going to heaven. I can live any way I want. That's a lie. That is an absolute lie. But yet it's perpetrated all over the place in America, in Christendom, and around the world. You get to die when you accept Jesus Christ. Amen? People are afraid of dying. It is no longer you.
That's right.
It's no longer you who live, but Christ. Amen? Right. We gave up the passions of the flesh or the lusts of the flesh when we took on Christ. And I know it's not a very popular position to take because we've all fallen short of the glory of God. Right? Every one of us have sinned. Can we be forgiven? Absolutely. Are we forgiven? Quickly. As soon as we asked. Not to just go back and do the same thing over and over and over and over again. And say, well, he's a God of grace. I'll do whatever I want. Wrong answer. You don't get to do whatever you want. You get to do what he's called you to do. Tell your neighbor, say, he's talking to you. In love. Because the truth is love. Amen? The lies are out there and they're everywhere. And the enemy loves to lie to everybody. The news channel, every single one of them lie to everybody every single day, trying to manipulate people to get a rating and make a dollar bill. And the word of God hasn't changed. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So what you value the most, you will protect. Yes. Isaiah 63:10, it says, but they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. Therefore, he turned himself to become their enemy, and he fought against them. I don't know about you, but I don't want to fight against God. I did that already. I lost epically, terribly. I lost. Galatians 5:25, it says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Galatians 5:17, it says, for the flesh sets its desires against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are in opposition to one another, so that you, wait a minute, let's look at this one really closely. So that you what? Let's read it together. So that you may not do the things that you please. Ouch. Brother, I came to church to be happy. I came to church to be encouraged. I'm not really feeling it right now. Thank goodness we don't walk by feeling, amen? Don't worry, you'll be feeling it a little bit. But we've got to come back to that place that he's not only Savior, he's Lord. We've made him Savior. It's easy to make him your Savior. He's the one that saves you from your sins, washes and cleanses and makes you whole. He's the deliverer. Woo! And he is all of those things. And on that day of redemption, it was powerful. On that day of redemption, when the realization of the power of the blood of Jesus Christ to wash us clean and to make us whole, where all of our sins are washed away, what a day of celebration. That Savior is amazing. The Lordship we don't like. And we struggle with a little bit more. Let's read that one again, I will. So that you may not do the things that you please. Those days are over. Yeah, but I'm an American. No, you're not. You're a man or a woman of God. That's who you are, first and foremost. Because when we walk according, see, the thing that we value the most, we're going to protect. And I don't know about you, but I want to protect my time with the Holy Spirit. I want to protect my life so I'm not getting caught up in all the foolishness. And I want to walk so clear before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords that when the Holy Spirit speaks, I want to be able to hear it quickly. Why? Because I value his voice above my own. Thank you, Pastor Jeff. Wow. Because I value his voice above my own. Because I value his voice above my own. See, because whatever we value the most, we're going to protect. Are we going to protect? See, in order to protect and walk in the Holy Spirit, walk close to the Holy Ghost, we're going to have to protect what we put before our eyes. Because that protects me in the Holy Ghost. Why? Because some of the things I put before my eyes grieve the Holy Ghost. And you know what that word grieve means? That word grieve is an ugly word. And it talks about an adulterous affair. That's what it means. It means that someone so close, the Holy Spirit so close to me, that when we fight the paraclete, it's actually a war term, can be used as a war term, where when we go to battle, right, when we're going to fight, Steve, come here quick. Hurry up. All right, we're not going to fight, but we're going to fight against the enemy, all right? Turn around, right? So when we fight, we're fighting back to back. Spin around a little bit, Steve. That's it. Turn with me. No matter which way we turn, we're covering one another, right? Go the other way, Steve. All right, good. All right, now go sit down, Steve. So when he did a good job. You did good, Steve. He can stand up and turn around. He's amazing. But that's how we fight in the body of Christ. That's what we do when we walk together. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. When we go into battle, the paraclete has got my back. And he watches and he guards. And no matter where I spin, he's looking the other way. And he's guarding me. And so he whispers in my ear, don't look at that. And sometimes I've looked at it and it grieved him. It grieved him to like cheating on my wife, where it was something so diabolical in the word of God and in the eyes of the Holy Spirit that he turns away and it causes him great pain. He's got emotions. He's a person. He's got emotions and he's grieved when we put junk before our eyes or we put junk in our heads. Some of the songs and stuff that are out there that people put in their head and the stuff that they listen to. Horrible. But if we value him the most, we're going to protect our time with him the most. We're going to protect us so that we don't get distracted by all of the foolishness so I can hear him clearly. The things that I put my hands to. I put my hands to things in my lifetime that grieve the Holy Ghost. They weren't all bad, but they weren't what I was supposed to put my hands to. Can I tell you, you're the liberators of an entire nation. The Bible says that you're to go and disciple nations. Isn't that what the scripture says? Right, so liberators of nations, what we're putting our hands to, will determine what we value the most. Can we agree? Right? The scripture says not to forsake the assembling. That's why we're here. We're here to assemble together, to look at the word of God, to worship together, to encourage one another. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm encouraged by you. Tell your other neighbor, say, I'm encouraged by you regardless of what he's preaching. Some of you don't look very encouraged this morning. But can I tell you, the church needs to get back to this very point. We're spirit-led people. That's who we are. We can't be flesh-led. Because we said, Lord, I want you to be the Lord and Savior of my life. Therefore, I don't want to give my hands and my feet and my eyes and my ears and my tongue. Oh, dear Lord, help us with our tongue. Anybody here ever grieve the Holy Ghost with your mouth? If you didn't, you're a lying dog and you just grieved him. Because when we start to protect ourselves so that the Holy Spirit's voice is clear. Why? Because we care about our relationship with him and being led by him. Because when we do what he says, people's lives are changed. Right? When we do what the Holy Ghost says, then people, they come to Christ. People are encouraged and strengthened. People are transformed by the power of God's word and his love. So when we walk close with the Holy Ghost, because what we love the most, we're going to protect. Amen? And I want to protect that time with him and protect my life so that I can hear him clearly and not waste time or get distracted. I don't want to be distracted anymore. The cares of this world have distracted me in the past. Right? The words of man have distracted me in the past. I don't want to be distracted anymore. Because I don't want to take the words of man and value them more than the word of the Holy Ghost or the word of God. We've got to lift that higher. We've got to protect our relationship with him by making sure that his word is the highest one. When he says, go and forgive, we do it quickly. When he says, hey, let go of that. Go and take that. Yeah, I know it's yours. I know you possess it, but I want you to give it to so-and-so. What? I want to hear so clearly, knowing that no matter what I give, my God is going to use it to strengthen someone else's life or change them forever. When the Holy Spirit says, surrender this, it's when it's easy to surrender, you know he's the Lord of our lives. The hard part is that surrender area. Why? Because you're the disciplers of nations. And this is what God's looking for. See, we start walking in the fruit of the Spirit, right? Can we put them up there, Zach? Because in Galatians 5:22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. So when we're walking according to the Spirit, right? What's the first one, Zach? Love. Everybody say love. Next one, Zach. Everybody say joy. Next one, peace. Next one, patience. What happened to that one? Patience. Look at patience is a tough one. That needs to be big, all right? What's the next one? Kindness. That's what's next, Zach. Goodness. Come on, you got to say it.
Gentleness.
Self-control. Yeah. These are the things. What happens, Zach, we better go through them one more time. They're getting it. All right, let's do this one more time.
Love. Joy. Peace.
Patience. Kindness. Goodness. Faithfulness. Gentleness. Self-control. Look at it. If we're going to walk in the Spirit, then these things, is anybody weak in any of those areas? Yeah. We all have some work to do. And you know how we get to work on that? We start to value the Holy Ghost more. When we start to value him more, then I have self-control when it comes to my tongue. I have self-control when it comes to eating. I have self-control with what I put my hands to and where I go. I have self-control with what goes on the television or what goes in my ears. I have self-control with where I spend my finances. I have self-control with who I allow into my life. Now, the Bible says that we're to go out and proclaim Jesus Christ to all the world, but not to hang out with the world all the time. It's not what the Bible said. We're to go preach the gospel. We're to go pray with them. But that's not where I hang with those that are on a highway heading in the wrong direction. I want to walk with those that are close with him, because then we're going to pray, we're going to get a word, and we're going to get breakthrough in their lives so that they come to know Jesus Christ. Because we know the parable of the clean rag and the dirty rag, right? If you put a clean rag and a dirty rag together, eventually they both become dirty. That's what happens. And when we live with the world and hang out with the world and watch what the world is doing and then speak like the world. Oh, if the church would speak like the church.
Yes.
We spoke the word of God in every situation, no matter how people responded, no matter what they said. Scripture says that we desire spiritual gifts to pursue love. Desire spiritual gifts. And just before that, he said, pursue love. Both of these are Holy Spirit imperatives. He didn't say, if you get a chance. He didn't say, if you feel like it. These are imperatives. He said, desire the spiritual gifts. Desire to be able to love the unlovable. Desire to be walking in peace in a tumultuous situation. That no matter what, you respond the same. You don't change because of anything else that's going on in your lives or our lives. You know, the Spirit leads us into the presence of the Father. He's our guide. He's the guide. What voice do we want to hear more than his? He says, hang on a second. You need to check out of here for a little bit, okay? Your wife will be fine. Don't escalate this. Step off and get with the Holy Ghost for a little bit. How many men need to hear that a little bit more often? You sorry dogs. Look at them. I'm not giving in. I'm not admitting to any of that. Walking in the presence of God is about positioning ourselves. And that's what the Holy Spirit, that he guides us. The Holy Spirit guides us and he positions us each and every day to walk closer with the Lord. You know, because whatever you're thankful for increases. Right? Whatever you're thankful for increases. If you're thankful for friends, guess what happens? They increase. If they're annoying, in your mind anyway, they start to decrease. But whatever we're thankful for starts to increase because we pay attention to it. Whatever we honor starts to increase. And the Bible says, pursue earnestly the gifts. He said, lust for them, a holy hunger, not a worldly lust. But he said, desire them more than anything else, that you walk in the gifts that God has given. You know, if you lust for what someone else has, and you look down on what God has given you, God has given you a gift that's beautiful, it's magnificent. It's for his glory, amen? And so many times people look down on their gift. Heaven forbid we look down on the gift that the King of Glory has given us. And we looked at someone else's and said, oh, if I just had that, he doesn't need you to have that. You won't be any good in that one. You'll be just right in the gift that he has given you, amen? But how does that grieve the Holy Ghost when we said, oh, the one I have isn't any good? Tell your neighbor, say, you got a good gift. Tell your other neighbor, say, you got a powerful gift. It was given by the King of Glory. And how many times have we sat back and say, well, I don't have that one. And the Holy Ghost says, oh, don't say that. See, because we got to protect what we value. Do you value what God has given? Will we value what God has given us? And stop looking at others. If I look down on what I have, what God has given me, then I stifle my gift. And if you degrade what you have, then there'll be no increase. Sometimes we look and we complain about where we're at, And yet we've looked at the gift, or we've looked at the calling, or we've looked at where we're at, and we've complained about the gift that God has given or where we're at. And the Holy Spirit says, we can't go any further until you start to rejoice in what God has done. Amen? You've got to rejoice in the gift that God has given. Because otherwise we're going to grieve the Holy Ghost. And it turns him away. He turns away. You know, as he becomes our all and in all, we're no longer consumed with the passions of the flesh. And his desire is to manifest himself through us so that the whole world would come to repentance and enjoy him. How much of our time is spent indulging in the temporal to find a way through? He's the one who changes everything in our lives and in a moment with him. No matter how hurt, no matter how hard, or no matter how damaged the heart is, restoration is all the same to our God. Doesn't matter how, tell your neighbor, say, doesn't matter how hurt or how hard or how damaged any heart is, it's the same to our God. See, it's just as easy for him to heal a heart that's damaged, to heal a heart that's hard, or to heal a person's life that has been damaged in a major way. No matter what trauma you've gone through, I want you to know God can set you free from it. Yes. Tell your neighbor, say, you're not a victim in Christ. Right. You see, when we start saying the same thing the Word of God says, we start to find our victory. But if we deny the Word of God, we grieve the Holy Ghost. He turns and he says, you've just stifled what God has been building in your life and what he's called you to do. He said, I don't want it stifled. I want you in his presence all the time, but you've got to stop disagreeing with what he said. Ephesians 1:7 says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. So it's through the blood. It's not by works that any man should boast. Amen? So every heart can be healed and everyone can be brought back to a place of victory in Jesus Christ by the power of the blood of the Lord. So 1 Peter 2:23 and 24, he says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed. So he's talking about that blood washes away the sin. It heals the heart. He also heals the natural body. And in 2 Corinthians 5:17, he says that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Tell your neighbor, say, that's me. You are a new creation. Behold, all things have become new. Right. So that old man is dead. Reckon him dead. Stop thinking about him. Because whatever you value, you're going to protect. I want to value the call of God in every single life in here. What we need to do. Your call is as important as any other call in this room. And in Romans 12:2, do not be conformed, what? To this world. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what? The will of God is that which is good and acceptable and perfect. So here the power of the Word of God, it takes care of every aspect, takes care of the heart on the inside, takes care of the mind, and it takes care of your natural body. God's deliverance is the same for all of us. In Psalm 97:5, it says, the mountains melt like wax in the presence of the Lord and at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. In his presence, no matter how hard the heart is, it melts like wax. Amen? No matter what kind of lie the enemy has spewed in your life, it melts like wax in the presence of our God. So when we take and we value what God has done and we press into his presence, every one of our problems start to melt like wax in the presence of our God. Amen? Every single one of them. Yeah, but Pastor, you don't understand the thoughts that are in my head. What do you think? We're different? We all have goofy thoughts in our head. But the minute I pick up the Word and I start to read the Word of God, my issues start to melt like wax in the presence of my God. My marriage starts to get stronger when I read about marriage and then do what he said to do in marriage. My relationship with my children gets better when I read about the Word of God on how to train a child. And then we start to act that out and everything starts to change. My money, my finances got better when I looked at the Word of God and found out what He said about it. He said, hey, I want you to surrender 10% of that. I want you to sow that into the kingdom of God. You live on 90% and I'm going to make a way. And I said, there's no way. That's what I said in the beginning. I said, Lord, it doesn't work. You'll never make that work. I wonder how the Lord thinks about that. I wonder what His thoughts are when I say something that's stupid. Yeah, that's something you can't do, Lord. You can't feed the family of ours like that, on that money. There's no way. And then He says, manna? Yeah, but, and then me and God have a chat. And I finally surrender. And I say, okay. And you know what? He's done an amazing job. 35 years of marriage. He's done an amazing job in my life. He's met every one of our needs above and beyond. And I want you to know to do the same. Fear stops me from saying He can and He will. But faith says He's more than able. That nothing's impossible for my God. So those thoughts start to melt like wax. Why don't you come on up, Pastor Jeff? Everything that God starts to do causes us to be thankful. 2 Corinthians 4:15, it says, for all things are for your sakes, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. See, when we're listening to the Holy Ghost, then there's a spreading of God's grace to more and more people. Thankfulness is a stabilizer in our lives that brings increase. Thankfulness is a stabilizer in your life. You need to be thankful. We need to express our thankfulness. So much of what we sing, and we're so thankful to the Father. But I want you to know, thankfulness will start to stabilize things in your life. And thankfulness always brings increase. It does. Gentlemen, just go home and say, honey, thanks for cleaning the house and thanks for cooking. You'll be fatter next week, I'll tell you. So don't go overboard with the thing. No, be thankful. But to be thankful for the gift that they are, to be thankful for their faithfulness, to be thankful, it's going to bring increase in that area. To your children, hey, I thank God for the gift that He has given. Can't tell you how many times I've heard, oh, these kids. I can't take them. You discipled them. Because they didn't come out acting the way that they did. Or the way that they are. They came out and they needed some guidance. Sometimes we have to put like a board on both sides. To guide. If you're critical of what you have, you've drawn a line in what God can trust you with. Are you critical of what you have? There's no bigger critic on the planet than you of yourself. But if you're always critical about yourself, then you're stifling what God wants to do through you. Because you see, if you're critical, that means you're agreeing with the lack in your life rather than in the lavish love that God has placed upon you. If you're critical of yourself all the time, you're lost in your own little mind, and your wife wants to know, or your children want to know, or your neighbor wants to know, or your worker wants to know, what's your attitude for today? I don't have an attitude. What are you so mad about? I'm not mad! Everybody knows. And you've got this war going on inside of your mind because you're agreeing with all of the lies of the enemy. You're being critical about who you are and the mistakes that you've made and what you didn't do and what somebody else did. And you're looking down on what God has already deposited on the inside. And therefore, you're not rejoicing. You're not being thankful for what God has begun in you. Because I believe that God's begun a good work in every single person in this house. And that's the thought you got to have in your mind. Every time the enemy lies, or every time, oh, wait a minute, God began a good work. He didn't say it was a perfect work. He didn't say it was a work without any flaws or any problems. He just said He began a good work and He's able to what? Complete it. Tell your neighbor, say, He'll complete it in you. Stand strong. The Holy Spirit is our protection so we don't fall into deception. Right? The Holy Spirit is your protection so you don't fall into deception. Because when you say, I'm a loser, the Holy Spirit says, no, you're not. Because if you agree with that lie, you fall into deception and you think you're less than what God's created you to be. Anytime you're not going to make it, forget it. Give up. It's impossible. There's no way. There's no way you're going to fix this. Holy Spirit says, hang on a second. You can't, but with God, all things are possible. So we've got to protect what we love and what we value the most. The closer we stay to Him, the more we understand how to walk through difficult situations. Listen, the world is coming into a difficult situation, more difficult than we've ever experienced before. And I believe because we're getting closer to the second coming of Jesus Christ. Darkness, there's deep darkness on the earth, and it's coming from every angle. But when I walk close with Him, I don't get discouraged and distracted with what the enemy is doing. I don't get overwhelmed with what's going on in the world. He helps me to walk through difficult situations. That's why we've got to be able to listen to Him, not blow Him off, not grieve Him, but to be careful about what's going in our eyes, what we're putting before our in our ears and before our eyes. He always reminds us of the truth. Amen? Stand up this morning. In the presence of God, there's fullness nowhere else. What you value, you will protect. Men and women, you need to value and protect your marriage because the enemy wants it destroyed morning, noon, and night. He works at destroying your marriage. That's what he does because he wants your children. Because he knows if mom and dad stand on the truth and they keep praying, then all things start to change in every child's life. Oh, but they're too far gone. No, they're not. Look at you. People said the same thing about you one day. Oh, forget them. Oh, that'll never happen. But God, He came on the scene. The Holy Spirit continues to draw us. He wants to set us free. He wants you to walk in the fullness of all that God has promised. He wants to take each one of us by the hand so that there's absolutely no doubt in your mind that wherever you walk, He's with you. Amen? We need to put our hand in His. Your freedom comes. Our freedom comes when we obey the Word of God. And when we start to protect that which we desire the most, and that is our walk with Him. He's got a walk for you that's incredible. Some have stepped into it already, some not quite yet. But I want you to know, when we'll listen to the Holy Ghost, we'll protect that relationship with the Holy Ghost. And the moment He says, don't look at that anymore, get rid of it. The moment He says, hey, don't go down that road, you know what's going to happen. You know you're going to stumble if you go down that road again. How many here, the Holy Spirit has told you, don't go down that road again, you know what's going to cost you. And you went anyway, besides me. And I was like, oh, I did it again. Why didn't I listen? Hopefully you guys are better listeners than I am. And the first time He tells us, we do exactly what He said, and we just go down a different road. The other road's a little bit narrower, but it's filled with blessings. It's filled with peace and joy and mercy and grace. The road that He wants you on is a road that's spectacular. And the world has never seen. The world has yet to see you walking in the fullness of God and the lives that will be changed because you protected your walk with the Holy Ghost. Let's give Him more value this week. The Word of God, our time with the Father in worship, and then listening to the Holy Spirit. He's going to keep us. He's going to open up doors that no man can open. And you're going to change people's lives. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for the power of Your Word. And Lord, we agree that there's no greater joy than when we walk according to the truth. Lord, we repent this morning for ever grieving the Holy Ghost. Forgive us for the words that we've spoken about our own lives, how we denied the very power of God, or we denied the promise that you spoke over our lives, or we denied anything. Father, today we repent. We ask you to forgive us. Holy Spirit, we ask you to forgive us for the times that we absolutely cast you off. We turned a deaf ear to everything you were speaking to us. This week, let us sit in quiet, listen, and as you direct us, let us walk it out in the fullness of our God. Lord, we want to live by the Spirit and walk by the Spirit all week long. And we want those fruits evident in our lives, the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Lord, it's all because you have given us the strength to crucify our flesh. So, Father, this week, let it be a week that we walk that brings you glory. A week, Father, where freedom is the only thought in our head all week long. And every time the enemy tries to condemn, we say, no, not today, for I'm free indeed. My God's love towards me is never ending. And Father, that as we sit down in the evening, that we would grab your word instead of anything else. We would open it up again. That we would spend time in prayer. We'd spend time in worship. We would spend time building and strengthening our spirit rather than indulging the flesh, so that you would be glorified through our lives. Father, today we thank you for the freedom that you have given us through the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you that our redemption has drawn nigh, and we truly are free indeed in Christ Jesus for them that believe. Lord, today as we walk out of here, let our eyes be given to those hearts that are hurting, those lives that are destroyed, those souls that are tormented and even thinking about suicide. Holy Spirit, show us who they are, and we'll obey when you tell us to go and speak the word of life to them. Lord, who's ever hurting, let us be the one that reaches out the hand, for you said that when we reach out our hand to the least of these, we've done it to you. When we open up our home to the least of these, we've done it to you. When we give to the least of these, we've done it to you. Let us be the expression of you on the earth this week, that many more would come to know you're not your saving grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.